ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रृण्वन्नोतिभिः सीदसादनं श्रीमहागणाधिपतये नमः సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. ఆత్మస్వరూప వందగణ. సో యు మే సే దిస్ 13th వెర్స్. చాతుర్వర్ణ్యం మయా సృష్టం గుణకర్మ విభాగశః తస్య కర్తారమపి మాం విధ్య కర్తారమవ్యయం. మయా చాతుర్వర్ణ్యం సృష్టం. దిస్ ఎంటైర్ క్రియేషన్ ఈజ్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై మీ ఓన్లీ. దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఈశ్వర ఇస్ టెల్లింగ్. It's not that Ishvara has created only humans. The entire creation is from me, the living as well as the non-living. The mountains, the rivers, the stars, the galaxies, the life forms, the animals, birds, humans, everything is from me. If everything is from me, why you should talk about humans? Because in the earlier verse, క్షిప్రం హి మానుషే లోకే సిద్ధిర్ భవతి కర్మజా, దట్ వాక్యం వాస్ దేర్. దట్ ఈస్ హౌ శంకర ఇస్ కనెక్టింగ్ దిస్ వర్స్ టు ది ఎర్లియర్ వన్. ఇన్ ది ఎర్లియర్ వర్స్ సో శ్రీకృష్ణ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ కర్మ, కర్మ అండ్ ఇట్స్ ఫలం, కర్మ కర్మ ఫల. సి కర్మ హ్యాస్ టు బి కరెక్ట్లీ అండర్స్టూడ్. తార్కికాస్ ది సెడ్ చలనాత్మకం కర్మ. ఇఫ్ దెర్ ఈజ్ ఎ మూమెంట్, that is karma. They said karma is action. We don't accept the definition, we don't agree with it. Suppose a leaf falls from the tree, is it karma? It is not karma, it is movement only. Even in English, in Sanskrit, chalanam and karma, there are two things. Chalanam is movement, karma is action. Even the word can convey a message. So when a leaf falls, it is a chalanam. And when you do something, it is karma. Is there not a difference between the two? So when the leaf falls, there is no individual who claims responsibility for the action there. The karta is not there, the doer is not there, but still movement is there. Therefore, a movement without a doer is never called an action. Nobody calls it action. An actor, not actor, agent of action must be there, then only you have an action. Whereas movement, it can happen as a part of the natural process. Therefore, chalanatmakam karma, movement, all movement is karma, is not an acceptable definition. Then, a movement for which the responsibility is claimed by an agent, so that movement is called karma. And this karma, it cannot exist. There cannot exist any karma in this universe except in human beings. So if electrons are whirling around the nucleus in an atom, there is no karma there. There is a lot of motion, all right, but no karma. If the river is flowing, there is no karma. If Isabel, the hurricane Isabel, it plays havoc with the communities across the coast, there is no, it is not karma. If it is the karma, then we would have sued it and collected money by now already. There is no karta there. That's why it is not karma. So, but if you know that somebody has done something, then it is karma. Therefore, in animals there is no karma. If a cow gives milk, it won't get punyam, because it is no karma. It is not karma. And if the cow kicks the milking person, it doesn't get papam, because it is not karma. There is no sense of doership in animals. So it is not that the inanimate objects, they don't have karma in them. Even among the life forms, animals, they do not perform karma. There is movement of animals, that's all. There are movements in animals, but there is no karma. A cow doesn't have karma. It neither gets it punyam nor it gets papam. So there is karma only when karta is there. Under the karta, the sense of doership, the kartrutvam, it is unique to human beings, and therefore the word karma is used with reference to human beings alone. Kankshantah karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devatah kshipram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. Karmaja siddhihi manushe loke bhavati. So in that context, so Bhagavan says, this manushya loka has originated from me alone. Why he should say that? Because the humans are the ones who are instructed. All instruction is for the human beings, and also human beings have this peculiar notion of doership in their minds. Therefore, they are addressed. So they are being discussed. And the human society, it is divided, keeping this karma in mind, because karma is the topic. It can be classified, not divided really. Division is a false thing. It is classified. Classification is not division. So the human society can be classified into four groups. Chatur varnyam. Chatvara eva varnaha. So into four groups they can be classified. There must be some principle for classification. So what is the principle based on which you are talking of this classification? The principle is guna karma vibhagashaha. Guna vibhaga and karma vibhaga. Vibhaga is the basis for classification. Vibhaga is classification. What is the basis for this classification? Guna and karma. There can be karma only in humans. There cannot be any karma among animals. Therefore, you cannot have this classification for animals and trees and other objects. So one gentleman told, these Rudrakshas are there. He is a Rudraksha specialist. And so he sells Rudraksha. When he sells Rudraksha, he sells a story more than the article itself, right? Because all Rudrakshas are alike. But then if all Rudrakshas are alike, then he has to sell them by weight basis. But that is not a good business principle. So he has to distinguish one Rudraksha from the other. So this has five faces, that has three faces. My goodness. It's a huge story. And the funny thing is people fall for it. In Hyderabad, I teach in some place. Vivek Chodamani class, weekly one class. I'm not sure whether I will restart it or not. But then, that class, one day I went for the class as usual. There was nobody in the class. In the Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, there was nobody. Then I thought probably time is wrong. It is right only. Then I asked, what happened? Nobody is there in the class. They all went for Rudraksha Mela. In Ravindra Bharati, a centrally located place, there is a Rudraksha exhibition. And now all of them went for Rudraksha. All our students. So most of them, not all, some are there, and so class went on. But this is the reply I got. So then I asked, what is this Rudraksha exhibition? You see, custom-made Rudrakshas are sold. Custom-made. You can custom-made. You go there. You are a lawyer, then there is a separate booth for lawyers. You go to that booth. Doctors, there is a separate booth. Business people, there is a separate booth. So for lawyers, there is a separate kind of Rudrakshamala. So for lawyers, the five-face Rudrakshas are, their number is fixed, three-face, like that. It is all custom-made, it is. So, and people purchase. It's a story that he is selling. He is not selling anything. Rudraksha has its own worth, but he is not selling Rudraksha. He is selling a story with it. Anyway, coming to the point, there is karma with reference to humans only. In animals, there is no karma. In birds, there is no karma. I am not, Jaimini Maharshi, the Purva Mimamsakara, he says there is no karma in devatas, the angels, you know. Angels, etc., they are their gods. So, for them there is no karma. There is karma only for humans. And therefore, this karma becomes a basis for classification. Karma vibhaga. In a general way. Then, the karma has its origin in the guna. Therefore, guna also, guna is a, guna is a disposition. That could be, guna is a technical word, saprajastamo gunas. So, disposition, you see, this universe, in this universe, there are three things. One is matter, second life, third consciousness, or knowledge. Now, a human being is all the three. If you take the matter, a piece of stone, it is only matter. It is not life and it is not consciousness. If you take an animal, it is, you can ignore the consciousness aspect of it, because it is conscious of a few things, but the consciousness is not manifest in its full glory. Therefore, an animal is matter, matter means the physical body, and life. It is not the consciousness. Suppose bulls are there. We use bulls in India. And in the Middle East countries, they use donkeys and camels, etc. As brute animals, which are meant to carry or pull loads only. Their bodies, they manifest the life force, and we exploit that life force to the maximum extent. So they feed the bulls and then they take all that, whatever they feed, more than the feeding, they take work from it. They make it pull heavy loads. So for us, there is some consciousness in it, but that consciousness is not manifest fully. If it is manifest, then all the bulls will organize as a union and then they stop pulling. And if the bull, instead of pulling the load, if it shows half of that power against this person, he will never come near that bull in his lifetime. But the bull, poor bull, cannot do any of these things. It is a body, matter, and it is life. That's it. As long as it lives, it pulls the loads, and it dies one fine morning. Over. Whereas when it comes to the human being, the full manifestation of matter, life, and consciousness is there. And therefore, because matter corresponds to tamoguna. Tamas, this is the guna, the technical, they are technical words. It is not just a quality or anything. The technical thing it is, technical word, paribhashikam padam. That is how Shankara said in one place. So, the matter having this property of inertia. This inertia. Newton discovered, he defines the mass in terms of inertia. There is a moment of inertia also. It's a physical quantity. So, this flower has a moment of inertia. This stone has a moment of inertia. But then this is more inert than this. Why? Yeah, you know it. You can sense it. How much more inert it is more, so there is a moment of inertia, and you can calculate that moment of inertia and all that. So that inertia, that refusal to move around, or if it is in motion, the refusal to change the nature of that motion, whatever it is, that is the inertia. And that inertia, which is there in this entire universe as an intrinsic property of matter, matter is inertia. Inertia is matter. That is how it is. And so that inertia, it has its origin in tamoguna. Then activity. There is so much inertia is there, activity is there. You know, manifestation means it will be like that only. Opposites come out. That is what is called manifestation. So the opposite of inertia is activity. That is rajas. And rajas is there in entire universe. The atoms, molecules, particles, everything is in motion. It is all rajas. And then that is there in our life also, in a human being also. Then there is, that is rajas activity. Then the consciousness, knowing, the power of knowing, it is vijnana shakti, that is sattva. These are the three. So when all the three are there, these three, their composition, because they are mutually opposing, so tamas and rajas are mutually opposing to each other, and the sattva is an equilibrium of tamas and rajas. It's an equilibrium. It is an equilibrium between inertia and activity. It is a sattva is passive activity. That is sattva. Passive awareness. That is sattva. It's an equilibrium between tamas and rajas. Therefore, these three gunas, they are the basis for classification in humans only, because a human being, he is the fullest manifestation of all these three. That's why the nature is trigunatmika prakriti. The nature is prakriti, which is the satrajastamo gunatmika, which is the source of all these three gunas. So the nature's glorious manifestation, most glorious manifestation, is a human being. There cannot be any better manifestation than this, because nature has used all its glory in making a human. So this is how the guna and the karma, guna that reflects in the disposition of a person, and also karma, the activities of a person, they become the basis for classification. Unfortunately, in India, this classification has become a division. It is not a division, but it became a division. And then it became controversy, a huge controversy, and it became a social evil, outright social evil, because the guna karma is replaced by janma. You see, nobody is superior by janma, by birth. Birth is common. It is the commonest thing among all life forms, is birth. So, by birth, every human is one or common or the same as every other life form. Not only every other human being, every other life form, birth is the commonest thing. So, birth cannot be the basis for any classification. So, the guna and karma, they alone become the basis for classification. Once it is understood that way, there should be no controversy. I have to say this because the verse could be a kind of, it could bring an occasion for controversy. That's why I said it. So, guna karma vibhagashah. Bhagavan says, you see, maya shakti is Bhagavan's maya shakti. It's not that Bhagavan is not connected, it is the maya shakti has done all this thing. It's not like that. It is the power of creation, the creative power of Ishvara, which is sattvarajastamo gunatmika, which alone manifested. And in manifesting, when it came to the human, all the three gunas are manifesting fully, in full measure. And therefore, those gunas, they appear as a given disposition, and that becomes the basis for the activities of the person also. This is how the Chaturvarnyam is created by me. Then, what could be the Chaturvarnaha? You see, as I told you, the tamas is there, so this rajas is there, and sattva. So sattva is knowledge, knowing, the power of knowing. And tamas is inertia. So they cannot be compatible. There is a compatibility problem when it comes to sattva and tamas. Okay, that means when sattva predominates, you cannot have tamas in the second place. Otherwise, 2 power 3, there are 2 things, you know, 3 gunas, and so how many classifications will be possible? 8 or so, some combinations, 8 of them are possible. But because of the compatibility issue, you cannot keep sattva in the top and tamas in the second place. Or if you keep tamas in the top, you cannot keep sattva in the second place. That kind of compatibility issues are there. Therefore, when sattva predominates, then tamas should remain at the bottom, and rajas occupies the second place. So, sattva pradhanasya, tama rajaha upasarjanasya. So, sattva predominates, and tamas is in the bottom, in the scale at the bottom, and rajas is secondary. That kind of combination, it leads to a varna called brahmana. See, I know a gentleman, a family. He has four sons. In India, having four sons is a very common occurrence. One generation earlier, not now anymore. So, he has four sons. And it so happened, I know that family, it so happened that the elder son is a teacher in the local school. He passed some BED and he is a teacher. And the second son joined the army. In India, many people join the army. Yesterday, New York Times, there was a report also. Indian army is the third largest standing army. Many young people, they join the army. And so he joined the army. And the third son, he started a business in his village. The village or some other place, he has a business running. And the fourth son, they have some agricultural holding and he is doing agriculture. He takes care of that some 10 acres land is there. So he is not highly educated, but he can, he knows agriculture that he learnt along with his father. So he keeps the agriculture going, which the father was doing earlier. These are the four varnas. And that father, he represents Parameshwara. Chaturvanyam maya srushtam, you know. He is the father of all these four guys. So this is how it is. Chaturvanyam maya srushtam. Guna karma vibhagashah. Now, you see, in Indian villages, I know people's attitude. A person who is in agriculture, he doesn't want his sons to be in agriculture. He doesn't encourage his sons to stay in agriculture. He doesn't encourage. He encourages all of them to become government employees. You do BSc or BA and become government employees. This is how they encourage. Parents, they have their own value system. So in modern times, everybody encourages their children, both girls, the girl child as well as boy child, to become engineer and doctor. As if there are only two professions, engineers and doctors. There is no third profession. And engineering also, computer engineering, electronic engineering, not any civil or mechanical. So people have their own values. So everybody encourages their children, all of them, to become white-collared employees. This is what they call white-collar. I know why they call white-collar, I don't know, but that is how they are called. But just by our encouraging, they don't become like that. So this parent, this father also encouraged his four sons. He sent them to school. But finally, they ended up like that. So why they should end up like that? They are the parent. They are the children of the same parents. And the parents encouraged them in equal measure. In the same direction, they encouraged them. And only one fellow graduated in that direction and he became a teacher in the government school. Whereas one fellow, against the desire of parents, went and joined the army or air force. These people, they are afraid of going into the air at all. They cannot imagine that somebody can fly. But he joined air force and so he is in army. It's not because of their encouragement. Because he discovered some love in that profession. So he joined army. Against the advice, against the upbringing, against the values of the family, against the desire of the parents, he went and joined the army. It happens all the time. And the third person, encouragement or no encouragement, he started a business. So people's disposition, it plays an important role in their lifestyles and in their activities. So Bhagavan says these kinds of four broad dispositions can be recognized in the society and they are all my children only, maya srishtam. So just to close the discussion by filling the gaps. So sattva is a harmony, that power of knowledge that is predominant. Rajas is secondary. Tamas occupies the third rung, that is the first category, Brahmana. Why he should be called Brahmana? Because such a person, he spends his major activity in life is study. And in those days, study means study of Veda. There is no other study. There is only study of Veda. Everything else came later. Study means study of Veda. So, దేర్ బ్రహ్మ మీన్స్ వేద, బ్రహ్మ మీన్స్ వేద, దట్ ఈస్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది వర్డ్ బ్రహ్మ. దేర్ ఫోర్ దిస్ పర్సన్ హీ ఎంగేజెస్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ ది స్టడీ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ, హీజ్ ఎ బుక్ వర్మ్ అండ్ దట్ బుక్ ఈజ్ బ్రహ్మ, దేర్ ఫోర్ హీజ్ బ్రాహ్మణ. దెన్ వీ హ్యావ్ ది సెకండ్ పర్సన్ హియర్, రజస్ ఈజ్ ది ప్రిడామినెంట్ అండ్ సత్వ ఈజ్ ది సెకండ్ అండ్ తమస్ రిమైన్స్ ఇన్ ది థర్డ్ కేటగిరీ. సో హీఈస్ కాల్డ్ క్షత్రియ, రజస్ ఈజ్ ప్రిడామినెంట్ యునో, దేర్ ఫోర్ he is a go getter, he is a fighter, he fights for justice. Sattva is also there, so he is not going to accept meekly all the injustices and all that. He fights for his own rights and also he fights for the rights of other people around him. He is a leader. So such a this leading leadership qualities, they are there in the society. We need them. We need leaders in society, not in Vedanta. In Vedanta, we need not be leaders. In fact, in Vedanta, any effort to lead, it denies the spiritual freedom for the other person. Therefore, because you have to discover your reality all by yourself, and a teacher or a leader or a In the case of Vedanta, leader is what? Teacher is the leader. So, the leader only shows the way. And you have atmanatmanam uddharet. You have to grow all by yourself. The teacher can only show the way. And therefore, the teacher cannot be a leader. And if the teacher becomes a leader, he denies the spiritual freedom. It can become an obstacle for spiritual freedom. Therefore, in Vedanta, we don't need leadership. We need only margadarshanam. Show the way, that's it. Show the way and if possible, you move on so that he can work out himself better. So, but in social life, we need leadership. In social life, you cannot have anything possible without leadership. In social life, you need leadership. So, that leadership is an inherent quality. Some people are born with leadership qualities and some are followers. It is like that. They cannot suddenly, if a follower mentality person has to change into a leadership mentality, it becomes difficult. You see, suppose a leader, you arrest a leader and put him in jail, then he will organize all the jail inmates and he is a leader there also. This mafia dance and all that, They are leaders in the society, they are leaders in the jail also. He will not keep quiet. So a leader is a leader wherever you drop. Even if you put him in a Sahara desert, he will collect a few other people and he starts leading them. So this is a second disposition where the mind is predominantly rajas and so activity-based approach. But at the same time, sattva being second state, so he works for the welfare of the society and all that. So kshatriya. Then rajas is predominant, he works hard, but in that working hard, self-centered activity is more, it becomes predominant than social welfare activity. So a businessman, his self-interest is the primary interest. They may put it in a very flowery language, etc. But finally, it's a self-interest is the primary interest. They say also, you see, I am a businessman. On telephone, I was listening to my friend. He was talking with somebody on telephone. He's telling him, you see, I am a businessman. You are talking with a businessman. You are not talking with Swamiji. Please note the fact. That is what he told him on telephone. If you are talking with Swamiji, you can tell anything and get away with it. I'll try to, you can convince Swamiji also, but don't try the same trick with me. I'm a businessman. So I know what kind of cost it is. So that is what he is telling. So it is obvious. For a businessman, he is charitable, but self-interest predominates. Charity is there. Nothing wrong in it. Nothing wrong in it means he has to grow. Everybody has to grow. Even a brahmana has to grow too. Gunatita is the ultimate thing. You have to transcend all the gunas. It's not that only Vaishya has to grow and Brahmana need not grow. Aisa nahi hai. Everybody has to grow. But in the case of a Vaishya, so the self-interest is the predominant. Charity is always there. So there the rajas and tamas is in the second place. Sattva is in the third place. That is the third. Fourth category, tamas comes into the top, then sattva has to go down, and rajas is in between. That is the fourth category called shudra. The meaning of the word shudra is also like this. Shuchadravati iti shudraha. This is Chandogya Upanishad. So, when tamas predominates in life, he suffers. That is the shudra. So, he gains a lot of emotional pain and physical pain because he ends up in a hard working job. So shushrusha karma, he ends up washing the window panes or some such thing, and he looks around and he doesn't feel good about it. Therefore he'll be working 8 hours a day, all the time cursing. General attitude becomes like that, because when the person looks around, he finds everybody else doing much better than his own situation. So the people are enjoying and taking rest and all that, relaxing, whereas he continues to work. The soka, they appear to be relaxing, but they get better salaries, better amenities, whereas this person works hard the whole day and ends up in a few dollars. So there is that sense of loss is always there. He is shudra. You see, in Chandogya Upanishad, there is a story. It is called Samvarga Vidya, one of the important upasanas. So there is a Mahatma called Raikvaha. And the king, he goes to this Mahatma. And he pranams and all that. He asks him, "You teach me some Atma Vidya, etc." Then the Mahatma addresses him as a Shudra. Hey Shudra, like that he addresses. Then the king was surprised. He asks his minister, "Why he addresses me as Shudra? I am supposed to be the king." Then the minister asked, "You, were you sad when you were talking with him?" "Yes, of course I was sad. That's why he addressed you like that." So, anyway, so this way the human disposition is like that. Therefore, in a given family, there can be 4 varnas. And in life, in a person's life, to start with, we are all shudras. Because in the childhood, we sleep 20 hours a day. Janmana jayate shudraha. We sleep 20 hours a day. Why 20 hours? Some 22 hours also children sleep. And so, up to 2-3 years, he is a shudra. And then, I tell you, he starts crawling around, and then he learns the skill of walking around. Now you cannot stop this boy. All the almirahs or cabinets, etc., below the particular level, they have to be emptied, and everything should go up. Otherwise, he will pull everything and dump on the ground, and he will break. He is the Rajoguna Pradhana Kshatriya. So, or else, the children, they are interested in only one thing, their candies and their toys. He is the Vaishya. And then he destroys everything. And in the young age, he runs around. Young age is a very, blood will be boiling with enthusiasm and all that. He runs around, he plays soccer. You see, at the age of 50, we are stunned to see anybody playing soccer because the knees, these knees, they do not serve any purpose to us except causing some occasional pain. Whereas this guy, he just runs around and they kick the soccer ball. This is something amazing. So that is the Rajoguna, and so he is the Kshatriya. And in the middle age, they become mellowed and wise. Assuming that all that happens, he is Brahmana. So everybody should grow to become a Brahmana. It's not that you are a Brahmana by birth. Janmana jayate shudraha. Karmana dvija uchiyate. So by samskara, he becomes dvija. Vedadhyayanena viprasyat. ఇఫ్ యూ స్టడీ వేద యూ బికమ్ విప్ర. బ్రహ్మజ్ఞానేన బ్రాహ్మణ, దిస్ ఈజ్ అనదర్ వెర్స్, అనదర్ వే ఆఫ్ లుకింగ్ ఎట్ ది హోల్ థింగ్. దేర్ఫోర్ దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ డిఫరెంట్ వర్డ్స్ విచ్ డిఫైన్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ డిస్పోజిషన్స్ అండ్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ లైఫ్ స్టైల్స్ అండ్ ఆల్సో ఇన్ వన్స్ లైఫ్. ఇన్ వన్ ఫ్యామిలీ యూ కెన్ హ్యావ్ ఆల్ ది ఫోర్ కేటగిరీస్, ఇన్ వన్స్ లైఫ్ యూ కెన్ ఫైండ్ ఆల్ ది ఫోర్ కేటగిరీస్, అండ్ ఇన్ ఏ గివెన్ డే యూ కెన్ ఫైండ్ ఆల్ ది ఫోర్ కేటగిరీస్. వెన్ యూ గెట్ అప్ ఫ్రమ్ స్లీప్ యూ ఆర్ ఎ శూద్ర బికాస్ తమస్, అండ్ దెన్ యూ బికమ్ యాక్టివ్ అండ్ హ్యావ్ బ్రేక్ఫాస్ట్ అండ్ స్టార్ట్ రన్నింగ్ అరౌండ్. సో యూ విల్ బి ఐదర్ ఎ వైశ్య ఆర్ ఎ క్షత్రియ డిపెండింగ్ అపాన్ ది టైప్ ఆఫ్ రన్నింగ్ అరౌండ్ యూ డూ. అండ్ దెన్ యూ సెటిల్ డౌన్ ఇన్ టు నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ ట్రై టు అసిమ్యులేట్ సమ్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ దెన్ యు ఆర్ ఎ బ్రాహ్మణ. ఇట్ ఆల్ డిపెండ్స్ అప్ హౌ వీ కండక్ట్ అవర్ సెల్ఫ్స్. సపోజ్ ఎ పర్సన్ బై డిస్పోజిషన్ ఈజ్ ఎ బ్రాహ్మణ అండ్ నౌ యూ వాంట్ హిమ్ టు రన్ అరౌండ్, యూ ఆర్ పనిషింగ్ హిమ్. ఐ టెల్ సమ్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ మెంట్ ఫర్ సర్టన్ థింగ్స్ బై డిస్పోజిషన్. ఇట్స్ నాట్ దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ ప్రివిలేజ్ విచ్ కమ్స్ టు హిమ్. Nobody inherits, I tell you. You may inherit a proper piece of land. You may inherit a bank account. You cannot inherit knowledge. You cannot inherit the higher values of life. One has to grow into all that. So, Atmajnanam is not a piece of inheritance. Self-knowledge, you are not going to inherit it from anybody. It's not a piece of inheritance. Or it's not a thing that you can purchase by paying a price. It's not like you purchase a piece of heaven by paying a price or etc. You have to grow into self-knowledge. It is nobody gives it, nobody takes it. It's not an inherited thing. Therefore, one has to grow into Brahmana and then transcend that also. Gunatita one has to finally become. So, to make all this understanding possible, a discussion is brought out. And so people have to grow in that direction. So that is the karmanam siddhim yajante. Karmanam siddhim, so karma siddhi, acquiring, performing karmas, and then gaining the results of those karmas, all this is the domain of human beings. And so human beings have this kind of characteristics in their life. So they have to recognize these characteristics and make progress in the right direction. We should not allow tamas to overtake us, and also very importantly, we should not allow rajas to overtake us. We should strive hard to become predominantly sattvika. We should not remain rajasic for a long time. We should not remain tamasic. So tamasic means what? We have interest only in eating and lying down and relaxing. So this is all tamasic. These picnics are all tamasic. So you go to Bahamas or somewhere, and then you do only a few things. One is you sleep, and you eat, and you get massaged. This kind of thing. This is all tamas only. Totally tamas. So, massage means what? Your muscles, you cannot massage your muscles. Somebody else has to massage. A sick man, I can understand. But a healthy man, he wants his muscles to be massaged. So somebody asked me, Swamiji, I want to massage you. What you are massaging? This? No, I can do it myself. When I become sick, maybe Bhagavan, God forbid, if that happens, we will see. Otherwise, of course, my legs are paining. I walked a long distance. But then I can massage my own legs. I can massage and I can feel good about it. There are some yogasanas. If you just bend a little this way, that way, that becomes a wonderful massage. So lots of massages are there. You sit in Padmasana for 5 minutes, the whole thighs and other calf muscles, etc. get wonderfully massaged. And then you do Makarasana, the stomach muscles get 2-3 minutes if you do, they get very good massage. Ardha Padmasana, Dishasana, Dasadatasana, they do wonderful massage. Sarvangasana, for the neck muscles, it's a beautiful massage. Somebody else, he may not do properly. You do yourself. So tamoguna is that way. It is like that. So one should not remain in tamoguna for long. And then rajoguna. Rajas becomes predominant. Means activity. You see, this activity is there with us. And the technology, the technological developments, science and all that, it adds to this rajas. So suppose a cell phone is there. So you want to send messages immediately and you have to get back message immediately. Everything immediate. Immediate means hurry. That is rajas. Why hurry? You see, there are in some, this hurry, I am not sure about it. Is it necessary? Is it for good of the human being? I am not sure about it. I have a feeling that all this hurry, it finally works for the ill health of the person. It accumulates stress in our life. Too much of running around, too much of activity. The mind is always in a hurry. What next, like that. There is no patience, there is no calmness in anything. So, it is this umbilical cord-like thing, this cell phone, you are always connected with the samsara around, always connected. Then somebody told me, no, Swamiji, if you are in a very dangerous situation, cell phone will help. This is what the companies talk about. What kind of dangerous situation? You know what happens, suppose you are standing on the cliff, top of a cliff, and you slip from there, and you are now falling down, and then you are caught up in between the branches of a tree. Now, who can save you? The cell phone can help you. This is what he tells me. So that kind of some imaginary situation where it can help. It helped somebody like that. And so we are planning for that. You see, it is not the way, correct way to look at it. There's too much insecurity, really. So, cell phone, email, and then computers, they have added to our stress. And in fact, we should develop the habit, that composure we should develop, where, in spite of having the cell phone in the pocket, we do not use it. Not necessary to use. In spite of having very advanced information systems and all that, we don't fall prey to all that. They call it IT Yuga. What IT Yuga? It adds to the stress, nothing more than that. And therefore, now stress is a very recognized syndrome, and people are worried about the stress levels. And so, you see, once I was passing through the airport immigration, then immigration officer, he is always confused about my history. This guy comes and goes, he tells a few things, and they have no way of verifying and all that. He asked me, what is it that you do here? Because he is unable to assess my status. He told me, I am unable to assess your status. If I know your status, I will relieve you. He asked me, what is it that you do? I told, I conduct seminars. Like what? I conduct stress-relieving seminars. That is what I told. In Canadian immigration, I told that. Immediately, you conduct that kind of seminars? What kind of? It will be 3-day seminar and you can come also. I gave a card. You can come and join. Oh, that is very nice. You see our lifestyle, you see so much stress. Anyway, thank you. Tuck, tuck, tuck. 3 stabs. He put 3 stabs and put my passport in my hand. You see, this stress relief it has so much attraction. Then I understood why I teach Vivek Chudamani and Gita and all these things. I can as well conduct stress relief seminars in Canada and in US and in West Coast. Go to half a dozen places, 3 days stress, anti-stress or whatever. You can come out with certain nomenclature. So, and start teaching a few things of that kind, the people will come in large numbers. This stress is a very big thing. All people are in stress. Why there should be stress? There should be relaxation. Suppose you have to go to New York from here. In earlier days, it takes 6 hours or 8 hours. In a horse buggy, if you have to go, whole day it takes. Whereas now you can go in 2 hours. You should be relaxed about it. But what is the result, really? The horse buggy days, people were more calm and relaxed. Now we can reach New York in 2 hours and we are stressed out. Why? What is the reason? What could be the reason? The opposite is happening. Logically speaking, we should be more relaxed, because you can contact anybody anywhere by cell phone. You can send a message, email message in a flat, 5 minutes the message is with him. SMS in India, I don't know here, our India, in India these kind of developments are very fast. SMS. SMS means what? Some short message service. Short message service. He sends a message, he types it in his cell phone and send, he says it goes to the other person's cell phone. Anywhere he sends. Hundreds of SMS they send. So they should be more relaxed. The whole world has shrunk. No, that doesn't happen. Logically it should happen, but these things do not follow logic. The opposite of logic happens. We get stressed out more. The reason is, the quicker you transmit messages, the quicker you get information, the quicker you accomplish jobs, the mind wants to communicate more, it wants to relate more, it wants to achieve more. So, this is an indispensable factor of the mind, namely, it is never, never satiated. It wants to achieve more, it wants to do things more quickly. A job which you were doing in 6 hours earlier, today you can do it in 1 hour, you want to do it in 30 minutes. Chips. A kilobyte chip, megabyte chip, gigabyte chip, now terabyte chip, they want to make some more chips. It goes on, it is endless. It's an endless road it is. It is supposed to be growth and all that, an obsession for growth. So, this is Rajoguna. This Rajoguna, we should grow out of it. We should come out of it. Vairagyam is meant for overcoming the ill effects of Rajoguna. And there is only one way to come out of this stress, that is Vairagyam. Vairagyam eva abhayam. There is only security in Vairagya, non-attachment. Nowhere else there is security. So, one has to grow out of Rajas. And your effort is up to reaching Sattva. You be sattvika, equilibrium in harmony, in peace, and in equilibrium. You are active to the extent required, and at the same time, you are not lazy, you are not slothful, you are actively passive, or passively active, whatever it is. That is sattva, equilibrium it is. And sattva guna, the characteristic of sattva guna is vairagyam, non-attachment and peace. So, calmness of the mind. This is the chitta jaya really. And you can do, you reach up to that level. That is, up to that, you can reach by effort. And above that, you won't get by effort. It happens by itself. Shravanam you do. And you be in the company of the Mahatmas. You stay with the Atmajnanam, stay with the sadhana. The rest is in the hands of Ishvara. You will transcend the limitations of these gunas. And you become gunatita, a jnani in this life. But sadhana is required up to becoming sattvika. You have to grow into sattva guna. So, to make all these things clear, a kind of a classification is presented by Bhagavan. Finally, he says, tasya kartaram api mam vidhi. So, I am the origin of this maya shakti. The maya shakti, the power of creation, it doesn't exist independent of me. It exists in me. And therefore, it is the manifestation of this maya shakti in the form of this entire creation. And therefore, the ultimate author of this creation, I am. Tasya kartaram api mam vidhi. So, you don't curse yourself that my tamoguna is higher, this and that. Ultimately, everything is performed by Ishvara only. The author of the entire creation is Ishvara. Tasya kartaram api mam vidhi. Akartaram avyayam. At the same time, I am not the karta. I am the author of this entire creation. But at the same time, I am not really the author. You see, this kind of a statement is a very interesting statement. He talks as a paradox, you know. It's a paradoxical statement. So, I am the author. At the same time, I am not the author. This happens all the time. I mean, I may not be able to give you a ready-made example. Sometimes what happens, suppose somebody comes and asks, who has done all this mess, who has spoiled all this, then to put an end to this issue, not to allow it into a controversy, so I say, okay, you don't worry, I have done all that. Oh, you have done, and he goes away. Because when I have done all that mess, he has no issue with me. He tolerates it and he goes away. If I say, that person has done this, this person has done this, he will go and quarrel with them. Therefore, to put an end to the issue then and there, I said, I have done all that. So when I took it upon myself, then he is willing to tolerate it, and so he went away. Then my friend who is standing by me, he asked me, why you did all that? No, no, I have not done all that. This is what I did. This is a Shri Krishna. So tasya kartaram avimam vidhi. I am the author of all this creation. Oh, you are the author? You are really the author of this creation? No, no, not really. To tell the truth, I am not the author. Tasya kartaram avimam vidhi, akartaram avyayam. So, this is the paradox. You see, this kind of paradoxical statements we come across quite often in Gita. Shri Krishna is like that. In India, one Mahatma told me, these cowherd boys are like this. That is what he told me. These cowherd fellows, they never speak in a fair and straightforward language. So if you go and ask him, sir, do you have milk to sell? He will say, I don't have. I don't have milk. Oh, you don't have milk to spare? Okay. He is going away. No, no, don't go away like that. Come back. How much milk you want? I want 10 liters. 10 liters? Oh, 10 liters I don't have. Maybe 3-4 liters I can manage. No, no, I don't care for 3-4 liters. Unless I have 10 liters, I cannot finish the job, and so I will search elsewhere. No, no, don't go, stay, we will see what happens. And finally he will give the 10 liters and take the money. This is how the cowherd boys function. So you just don't take their words on the face value, you wait, he will add a rider to that. So Shri Krishna is a cowherd boy. So he ends up making all such statements. In Gita is full of such statements. All paradoxical statements. Matsthani sarva bhutani. Entire life forms are in me. Oh, is it so? Nachamatsthani bhutani. Immediately. They are not really in me. Nirgunam gunabhoktrucha. In 13th adhyaya. So, like that, I am the nirguna. I am the gunabhoktru. So, bhotabhrut. Nacha bhotasthaha. All paradoxical statements. So many of them. So, there is a full verse about it. Akarmane karma. Karmani akarmayav pasyet. Akarmani cha karmayah. In fact, he says, when you see through these paradoxes, your understanding is complete. You should be able to see through the paradoxes. In fact, the correct understanding of Vedanta consists in reconciling with these paradoxes. It is there in Vedanta and it is there in poetry also. We call it Virodhabhasa Alankara. I will show you one verse. This is a very popular verse. Agajanana Padmarkam Gajanana Mahadnesham Anekadantam Bhaktanam Ekadantam Upasmahe. He is Agajanana. He is not Gajanana. Gajanana. Yet he is Gajanana. He is Anekadantam, having many dantas, but Ekadantam, having one danta. This is the paradox. Virodha. But then, if the Virodha is intrinsic, then it is not logical and therefore it has to be rejected. You cannot handle a real contradiction, you know, the contradiction cannot be real and yet meaning logical or meaningful. Therefore, it is not a real contradiction. It is an apparent contradiction. That is why it is called Virodhabhasa. It appears to be a contradiction, but by the time you carefully look into it and understand better, the contradiction melts away. So, it is not Agajanana versus Gajanana. Gajanana, he has the elephant-headed god. But Agajanana Padmarkam. Aga is mountain, that is Himavan. Agasya Ja, means the daughter of Himavan, that is Parvati. And so her face, Anana, which is like a lotus, Anana Padma, and Arkam. So our Gajanana, Ganesh Maharaj, is like the sun to the lotus-like face of Himavati, Parvati. What happens to the lotus when sun rises? The lotus blooms. Similarly, when Parvati was just sitting there, and then Ganesh Maharaj walks in, her face lights up. That is the meaning of Gajanana Padmarkam, Gajanana Maharnisham. He is not Anekadanta. He is not having many tusks or any such thing. It is Ekadanta only. So, but then Anekadam Tam, Tam Gajanana, that Gajanana, Bhaktanam Anekadam. He showers the blessings to the devotees. So by the time you look into the structure of the words and correctly break the words, sandhi rules you follow and correctly break the words, all virodha is gone. Similarly here also, the author of this creation is Ishvara, but at the same time, there is no authorship in Ishvara. How? I will tell you how. You take the example of a torch or a glowing incense stick. This is a torch whirling example it is. You can take a glowing incense stick. The tip, it is glowing, red hot tip it is. So take this incense stick and you whirl it quickly with a lot of speed. So now you can recognize many forms. You can recognize a circle or an ellipse. Or if it is whirled in a particular way, you can see 8 number, you can see 8 horizontally kept, or you can see a dumbbell shaped whirling also you can do. All possible forms can be recognized as you whirl the torch. Now, you tell me, all these forms that you have seen, nowadays there is a thing called light and sound show. In the light and sound show, they employ the laser beams to show various forms in the sky. And so that kind of, it is a torch whirling only. Nothing more than that. It is in a more sophisticated way it is done. In Vedanta, it is Gaudapada's example. So we have some unsophisticated, some rugged kind of an example it is. So when you whirl this this tip of this incense stick, glowing one, so all these forms are there. You can have a straight line, circle, ellipse, 8, this, that, all kinds of forms are there. Now, if I say all these forms, which are nothing but phenomena, they have all originated from the glowing tip. And even when they were appearing, they have their existence only in the glowing tip. And when they disappeared, they have gone back or resolved in that glowing tip. Do you have any objection to this description? No. Therefore, with reference to all those forms, the aadhar is that glowing tip of the incense stick. Right? Fair. Fair enough. The glowing tip is the aadhar. Now I will ask you a few questions. You answer me. Are these forms, or these phenomena, that 4, 8 or 1, a circle, a straight line, etc., all these phenomena, are they inherent in the glowing tip? Are they inherent in the flame? What is your answer? No. Do they come out of the glowing tip? No. Do they really come out of the glowing tip? No. Or do they come from somewhere else there? No. And when the glowing tip is revolving, it stopped revolving. Now all these phenomena, do they enter back really into that glowing tip? No. Or if they do not enter into the glowing tip, do they go elsewhere? No. Then is the glowing tip an author of all these phenomena? You say no. You have sent so many no's and this also you say no. Then I can conclude my class. Yeah, let me say no. Therefore, the glowing tip, it is from one standpoint, it is the author of all these phenomena. In a way it is the author, But really speaking, it is not the Aadhar. Our life is also like that. Suppose a young man is there. He has grown up well, studied well. Oh, are you the author of all this growth and his flourishing in life? Yes. Oh, are you really the author? No. I'm not there. All Ishvara. So, in a very narrow point of view, I seem to be the author, but then, really speaking, I am not the author. Everything is given. Ishvara is the author. This is what Ishvara is telling. Bhagavan himself tells this. So for us in telling this, there should not be any difficulty. So he says, tasya kartaram api mam vidhi. The universe, it cannot originate without me. It cannot exist without me. It resolves unto me, into me. It doesn't resolve elsewhere. Therefore, in that way, I am the karanam, srishti sthitilaya karanam. Therefore, I am the author of this universe. But at the same time, the universe is not a real universe. It is an appearance only. Therefore, it seems to exist in me, but it just does not really exist in me. And therefore, the authorship is also from a standpoint, in an absolute sense, there is no authorship. When you see a scene on the movie screen, if I say this example, then we can conclude it. So when I see a scene on the movie screen, now this scene, it has originated from the screen only. It exists in the screen only, and when the scene ends, it resolves in the screen only. So you should be able to say that the screen is the origin of this scene. But then really speaking, the scene just doesn't exist on the screen in real terms. It is only appearance. So in all the cases of mithya or appearance, you can talk in both ways. So The scene has its origin in the screen, but at the same time, the screen is no way affected by this scene. The scene just doesn't really exist on the screen, and therefore, screen is not really the author or the origin also. You can say in both ways, it's only a matter of standpoint. You are able to say in both ways, understanding fully well, you can say in both ways, that is the real understanding. So tasya kartaram api mam vidhi akartaram avyayam. Om purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamadachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate. Om shanti shanti shantihi harihi om shri gurubhyo namaha harihi om tatsat shri krishnarpanamastu.